Welcome to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. Join us to learn simple, accessible ways that the seasons, moon phases, and astrology can help you finally create a spiritual self-care practice you can be consistent with. I'm your host, Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow. I'm a practicing witch, a certified astrologer, and a published author, and I'm on a mission to help modern witches like you nourish your mind, body, and intuition so you can be your most magical self. All day, every day. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm here today with Athena, who is a vibrational energy alchemist. And her passion is teaching the practice of light language to those who embrace the magic in the world. She's an expansive, has an expansive background, excuse me, as an herbalist, trauma release guide, yoga, breathwork, and meditation instructor, a Reiki master, and a grief tending practitioner and guide. Athena is an artist and wordsmith, a veteran, and has two phenomenal indigo children with her partner in this life. So thanks for being here, Athena.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about what you do.
So I kind of stumbled into this path, this journey for myself, honestly. As I mentioned, I'm a veteran. So I was in the Air Force for 6 years. And when I found myself back as a civilian, as they like to say, it was very different. And I had this new grief that I had to work with and this new journey that I didn't know how to process. And not many people really understand it unless you've been in, right? And once you're out, you're separated. It's just, I felt very lonely. And so that coupled with like a big health scare, like just karmic cleansing right out the gate, like as soon as I started that new journey. And it just led me to wanting to help people to let go of stuff and to be able to sit in discomfort, because that's, I found that that's the only way that I can grow, is to truly look at every part and to learn to say, this doesn't feel right. Why is that? Instead of turning away from it. And so I really preach radical self-acceptance, and light language has been the best tool for myself and for quite a few of my clients as well.
Awesome. I love it. I'm so excited to talk about light language today, because we really haven't talked about it at all on the podcast. And it's something that I love to work with. So I'm so excited. So before we go there, though, I like to start all of our episodes with the same question, because I love to hear people's different perspectives on this. So I would love to hear your thoughts on what it means to you to live a magical life.
I think what first comes to mind when I think of magical life is being able to see the magic in the mundane and in slow living, and being able to see sparkles of joy even in doing the dishes, right? Like I don't enjoy doing that part of my day, but I do enjoy having a family that like I'm eating dinner with every night. And so to see the balance and to accept it for what it is, and to just say like, I'm here, why not have my best time? Let's find joy wherever we can.
That is so true. It's so funny. I often talk about like magic while doing the dishes or doing laundry and things like that. But I love that perspective of like the part of the reason why those things can be magical is because they reflect something good about our lives, right? They reflect something that we have an abundance of, even if it's an abundance of laundry.
Right. And it reflects an accomplishment as well of like, if I dreamed about having my family and now I do. And so I really focus on not losing that perspective of gratitude, because it can get heavy. Life gets heavy, but to be able to take a step back and look at where I was 5-10 years ago and to be like, this is what I dreamed of and I never thought could happen. And so it's just reminding yourself like, you're doing good. It just, time isn't linear all the time. And just keep doing your best.
So, so true. Yeah. I keep seeing, you know, you see like the same quote over and over again for a while and you're like, okay. I hear you. I keep seeing something lately about like yourself, you know, 5 years ago, your 5 years ago self like dreamed something about your life now. Maybe it's not perfect, maybe it's not everything, but like there's some piece of something in your day today, maybe lots of things that someone, some version of you in the past like wished for. And I was like, that's so true. Even when it's like, I don't know, because there's things in my life now that 5 years ago we would be really upset about, but would also be so excited about other things, you know? And it's like, you have to find that balance.
Yeah. And it's, balance is hard. I think any moment of clarity is one that you're like, there's magic. Like to be able to see both sides, I'm doing good.
Totally. So true. Okay. Let's get into your specialty here. So to start us off, because I know a lot of people are going to be like, what is light language? What is this about? Can you tell us just like, what is this tool and how do you do it and how do you use it, you know, at the highest level?
Yes. So light language is a 100% sensorial language, the way that I perceive it and I practice it. And people, you can make songs and you can build off of it, but it is a sensorial language that bypasses human consciousness. So it's intention. I think of light language as I need to check into my intention every day, because if my intention is I want to have a good day where I know I've like accomplished two small goals, let's say, like just the laundry and I don't know, checking the mailbox is one for me. But if I remind myself of like, that is what I want to do, and it may seem so small, but future me will be so proud of me for doing that. And so it's that perspective and the mindset of looking out for future you. And you, it is a way to connect with the higher version of yourself, because the higher version of yourself will trust you if you are acting in accordance with your higher purpose. And you can, and accessing it, everyone can access it. It's the best way I describe it is, you know, when you bond with someone over a favorite song, like let's say you're out and the grocery store is playing a song and you hum along and someone else does, and you have that shared moment of joy and you're like, yeah, this is a good song. You're like, wow, we're getting old, but I love this song. And it's a moment of connectedness. And that is where the light language is. Where that, it's literally a white glow for me in my heart when I'm around people with good energy and I know that it's happening, and all I have to do is allow myself to be receptive to it. I don't actively have to do anything except remember my intentions.
That's so beautiful. And I love the connection between light language and like, you know, what we think of as music and, you know, having that connection. Like it is, there is that like, audible, yeah. I guess, connection, right? That totally makes sense. Can you tell us a little bit about how you like found light language and got into it? Because before we started recording, we were talking about like so many people don't know about this.
Yeah. So I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran, and I separated 6 years ago, and I joined when I was 18, almost 19. So from a kid, and that's where I became an adult, and then when I decided not to make it a career and get out and marry my partner and have a completely different life that I had just thought was a dream prior to, I realized there was a lot of karmic cleansing coming my way. And I was lonely and I didn't have a lot of people that I felt I could truly connect with. I felt loved, but not understood. And my studies, I started with Reiki and then my yoga instructor, and it just, my practice is built on itself. And it led me to find light language through a mutual friend. I went to a Reiki retreat, and there's someone there who's talking about it. And I was like, that sounds so familiar. That sounds like what I want to do, but I have not known that was a real thing. And because, you know, when you say you want to help with energy, you're like, how do you explain that to people? And it's like, I want to be around people and just share love. Like, I just want to help uplift and be a positive spot in a world that has a lot of negative. And that in itself is a job in today's world. And light language has just, it led me to being able to, I'm still working on it, but radical self-acceptance and like seeing, I may not be where I want to be on this level, but I am doing all of these things I never dreamed of. And I can see the light in those and the joy. And it's, everyone has access to it. It's learning to be happy was what it's done for me and the hardest part of light language for me in the beginning.
That's so beautiful. Would you say that it's like that learning to be happy piece? Is it that the light language kind of helps you find that those like sparkles, like you were saying, or does it help you express it? Like, how are you using it?
I think it helps me express it more. And honestly, it helps me not run from it, because I lived on my own for so long and I would go home and see my family and I felt more connected, right? After moving away and moving back, it felt like, yeah, this is home. But I had gone on a different journey. So that feeling of connected became scary because I didn't know how long it would last. My friends left every 3 years because you get orders and you move. And it's learning to plant roots and to experience the joy, even though it may not always be there. I had to learn how to be vulnerable again and to be willing to be hurt again in order to like see the joy, if that makes sense. Like, I had to process it, and light language helps you let it all out, and it's in a safe space. It makes your inner landscape more of a safe space.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. That definitely tracks. The process of like having to let go of things and be able to be happy where you are, even if you know something's not going to last forever, or even if it might not, even if you hope it does, like that's definitely been such a big lesson for me and throughout my life, but it definitely recently. I actually totally agree. I think that, you know, I went through like a really, last year, I went through a really hard breakup, and it was sort of around that time. I don't know, maybe a little bit before that, at least like a few months before that, but not really long before we broke up, that I got interested in light language. And it's not something that I practice, but I love to receive it. And so there's a few people that I, you know, listen to, and it is, I think that's so true. Like, that's definitely been my experience of it, is it's one, it's just like so relaxing and meditative, and like, you know, really helps you to just, you know, come into that like calm space, like helps with the nervous system. But also, I think it did really help me during that time where it was like there was so much processing happening and so much releasing and moving, and you know, there was like a lot of practical stuff, but so much emotional stuff. I do think it really helped with that.
And I think it reminds us that we're resilient, right? Like, if you think about what I'm thinking about future me, that makes problems seem more appropriately sized. Not too small, too big, but you're like, this will pass. Like, you know that this is one day and however many days you have. And so just to give each moment, I try to practice secure attachment to time. And that's been another learning area for me, and light language has helped, because I feel like that meditative state, time doesn't exist. And to get comfortable where time is not in charge helps with anxiety, nervous system, like all the things that you mentioned. And I'm actually doing a medical study about light language in the vagus nerve. I think if you utilize light language to help regulate your nervous system, because everything is connected, that we could make a lot of progress in a lot of autoimmune areas, because there's a lot that we don't know about how these two work, but they make sense. I feel like they go hand in hand with your energy and your nervous system. Like, if they're out of whack, what's going to be in balance?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have been through different periods of, you know, being really burnt out, having, you know, difficulties in relationships, and all sorts of things. We've talked about a lot of them on the podcast. That nervous system piece is so important. And I feel like it's become such a buzzword, and people are like so tired of hearing about like regulating your nervous system. And it's like, I know, right. But it's so important. It's so powerful, and it makes such a big difference. And I think any of our spiritual tools really like go back to nervous system work ultimately, right? It's all about like,
absolutely,
regulation and all of these things. Like, that's what we do.
Grounding. That's what grounding is, right? Is getting back in touch with this moment.
Yeah.
And it's getting out of your head and connecting to your body again, which is hard to do. We're in a go, go, go society for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. And taking any kind of time to meditate or listen to light language, or, you know, have a Reiki session or anything like that, like, is so Oh, like that's been my thing. Like the last year is like, okay, we're taking a little time to like really come into this, you know. And I mean, obviously, like I've had a spiritual practice for many, many years. That's what I teach, but like I don't think I gave a lot of credit to, not even consciously, right? To those just like really calm moments, you know, where you're not even necessarily journaling or doing anything or doing ritual, you're just really receiving.
You're just appreciating the moment, right? They surprise you. You're like, wow, today I thought was chaotic, and now I'm having this great moment within this chaotic day. And it helps, to keep a bigger view is what I like to think. Because if I look at my to-do list for too long, I go into panic and like I get productivity driven again. And I want to be love driven. And that is what light language is leading me to. And I don't want to be fear driven as, a lot of just a lot of different factors in our life kind of lead to that, especially with the state of the world right now. And so it's trying to remember that we come from love. No matter the world may be crazy, but you can still be a beacon of love.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay, so I would love to hear a little bit more about like your light language practice. Like, I know there's different types of light language. Like, I'd love to hear like what you know, how you practice it, what that looks like.
So, right now I am helping my clients, but we're learning together. And so I mean, I've had people come in who've recently suffered losses in their life and they haven't mentioned anything. And during a light language and Reiki combination session, just getting that like download and being like, is everything okay? Like this part of your body doesn't, it feels like something is here and we need to talk about it. And so I like to use it as a consensual, gentle way to help release trauma because it can be a very overwhelming experience. No matter how prepared you think you are, there's a reason your brain tried to protect you. Right? There's the reason that something was traumatizing. And so to know that you have someone there holding your hand and you feel that warmth and you feel that light language and you know it keeps you here in the present and not back in the past. And so you're able to watch it leave. And it's wild. Honestly, like the biggest success I've had with it is, like I said before the podcast, I have a speech impediment and this has been such a great tool, but what it led me to do, ironically, was vocal lessons. So now I'm taking vocal lessons and piano lessons and music theory, and I'm learning how to compose my own songs. And before, I was afraid to make a phone call. And that's so important about light language because you never know. Like, expect the unexpected, and it's that surrender of like, what can the universe do for me? All you have to do is allow it. And be brave enough to take those steps because now I'm falling in love with making music and I have healed this wound that I did not know I had for so long, you know? And it's like truly when I say I'm falling in love with my life again because I'm able to see the joy and not just the scary parts. Like a year ago, I'd be like, you're insane. Why would I ever take a singing lesson? That sounds like the worst thing. And now every Tuesday, I'm like, I have to go. I have this lesson. This is my like highlight moment of the week now.
I love that. That's so empowering. And I totally resonate with that because there's so many things in my practice that, you know, before I used to do this thing and before I, you know, did ritual and identified as a witch and all of these things, like I always resonated with them, but I never would have thought that I would be who I am, you know,
And
and
like
have
owning
worked
it,
out.
right?
Yeah, and like be
Yeah, and
very, you
just
know, public and then be able to just do that. Like I never would have thought that. And it was really like my
yeah.
practice that took me there, you know. And it really is amazing how our practices have such a ripple effect on our lives. Like it's not just when you're, you know, sitting at your altar and you're, you know, meditating or whatever you're doing, it's not just in that
Right.
moment by any means.
No, and my husband is now a Taoist. He grew up Catholic, and over the course of we met when we were 20, he's like, now I'm like very much a Taoist, and he is. I'm similar, but I feel like I don't know what I am. And he will tell you, he's like, the goose is out of the jar. Like, I never thought that I would be here, but here I am. I don't know how, but I got here, right? And it's the trust and the surrender of what's going to happen is going to happen. Just try to enjoy yourself. You're here. Why can't we have fun while we're here? And usually that takes you to where you want to go.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like, how can we find those bits of magic? How can we find, you know, some peace, some happiness, like amidst everything that is going on in our lives? You know, like we all have difficult, some cases really difficult, really painful things we're going through or have been through. And our practices can both like support us through those times and also can help us when, you know, we're, I don't know, navigating those spaces in between where it's like, I'm not actually in a difficult space now, or I'm not in, you know, as difficult a space. And how can I actually like make the most of it, you know, and like really just find all the magic that I can.
And and it's letting it find you, right? Like I spent so many years looking for happiness, and now all I have to do is slow down and let it come to me, because it's there. It is my pre-coded like settings, I guess, from before this journey that are coming up to surface. So I'm like, okay, now let's analyze this, and you feel safe because you know you're not that you're not your trauma, and it's giving light to a dark situation. And I think light language is honestly as simple as the light at the end of the tunnel, finding how to spot the light and then focusing on that. And before you know it, you're there. Don't look at your feet for every step. Look at where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so important because it's like, we can so easily, it's like there's such a balance, right? Like we've been talking about all along, but like there's such a balance between how do we, you know, make sure we process and face and deal with what we're going through or have been through in the past, and also not stay in it and just be able to keep looking forward and keep looking at where we want to be going, you know, even if it doesn't seem like, you know, that it makes sense or we're on that timeline or on track to do that. Like, it doesn't matter. Just focus on where you want to be going.
Yeah. And then, so for the listeners, I was trying to think of like three small daily things that you could do to access light language, because it tends to grow the bit by bit. Like the less you have to look for it, the more you find it. So meditate. I would highly recommend 5 minutes of meditation, even if it's just hiding in the bathroom from your kids. That's what I do. And I just sit in silence, and being comfortable in silence and with the thoughts in my head and learning not to judge myself. But it's 5 minutes. That I would recommend. There's obviously a ton of great meditations, but I think just learning breathing, just learning diaphragmic breathing and doing it for 5 minutes a day, that's meditation right there. And there's no expectations. It's just something that feels natural and good. 2, you know, you hear about gratitude journals all the time. I have switched from that, and I actually got this from a movie, Happiness for Beginners on Netflix. Great movie, super funny, but there is a character and she said, name 3 things that made you happy. Because I don't think happy and gratitude are necessarily the same. And I think that finding 3 things that made you feel happy during your day, at the end of the day, you don't have to write it down, just that honest reflection of like, did I laugh today? What did I laugh at? What made me smile? Without having to apply weight to it of I am grateful because others may not have this. Just be what brought you joy. And then the 3rd, I highly recommend yoga to everyone. I think it is a game changer for light language because it gets you in a flow state. Just practice something that gets you in a flow state, because that is where you access the most benefit from light language. And you don't, it's not necessarily immediately, right? But a few days from now, what you were pondering on may really, really come into play. And you may handle a situation completely different. It could have gone negative, and now there's a bond between some a new person, you know? And so I think any flow state, like the music, yoga, walking, like walking in front of your TV at night, even just moving and learning to move and think at the same time, and to, yeah, just find a flow state and just to make a nice little bubble for yourself. And those, it's usually physical, mental, and emotional that need a little exercise every day, I find.
Totally. Those are such great tips. Thank you for having that off the top of your head like that. Yeah. That was so great. Yeah, I think that it is so just that being in that flow space. Like I often get there. I often get there on a walk or in yoga class, but also I will just like get in bed, and I it's so funny because I teach on, you know, like morning and evening rituals and how to do all the things, right? But like I don't really have much of an evening ritual that's like really the same, you know? But like I think one of my best flow spaces, and I've done this for years, like in, I don't know, maybe even like high school, definitely college, like when I would be studying and stuff, I would get in bed when like the house is asleep, you know, it's a little bit later, and be really quiet and put headphones in. And these days, then I would be listening to like, you know, some kind of instrumental music. These days, often I listen to light language or something like that. And yeah, just journal or do work or whatever I'm doing, you know, but just like be in that space where it's like, it's quiet and you can listen to something and just be like cozy and have a cup of tea and like focus on whatever it is that you want to be, you know, feeling, processing, working on, figuring out. Like that's when I get so much inspiration and those like creative moments, you know, and it's like, we have to carve out those bits of time for ourselves to get into that flow space.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think evening and morning rituals are wonderful. I have young kids. I'm not necessarily, I have ADHD as well. So like routines are hard for me, but I do like, I take an annoying amount of pictures of my kids. My kids get so annoyed. And I'm like, I told my oldest, I like to look through the pictures I take every day before I go to bed, because I can look back. And I can know, even if like you had a hard time falling asleep, I'm seeing those moments and able to remind myself. And she's like, really? You look at pictures of me? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. Like, you and your sister are all I think about. Like, that makes sense. But to her, she was like, that's so sweet. And I was like, it just brings me calm, and learning what helps me calm down and learning how to be calm, because it's not a natural setting for a lot of people. And it feels scary. It can feel like stalling out or like leading to burnout, right? Like, would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, and I think so much of burnout is, you know, it's either like very physical, right? It's like we're overworked and overtired and not getting what we need, or it's that we're not connected, right? We're not connected to the things that we actually care the most about. And so instead we're completely focused on the things we don't actually care that much about, right? But that we're worried about or stressed about. And we think we're supposed to be focused on. And yeah, I think that really leads to burnout. When I was really in my like burnout space several years ago now, like 5-6 years ago, I loved my job, like the work that I did at the time. I loved what I did, but I was so burnt out from it. And I knew I was burnt out, but I didn't really realize to what extent, until several years later. I actually like went back and did some consulting for my old job. And I like basically like logged into some old accounts that I hadn't been in years. And I immediately just felt this wave of like, oh, like just stress. And I was like, God, I loved what I did. I knew I had an impact and it was fun. It was creative, but I was so focused on it. Like it was so all consuming that I did, you know, I had a spiritual practice and I, you know, I did have other things going on. It was just very consuming. And yeah, I think that not being able to focus on the things that were actually the most important to me, and like letting something that like was important to me and people who did matter to me, but was ultimately like my job, you know, letting that be everything was definitely what put me in burnout. Anyway, I don't know if that answered your question, but.
No, you did. I think that we're taught that slowing down is bad, right? It's about like, what are you doing? What's like, what's going on? What's exciting in your life? And I historically thought of exciting as that would like I don't know, cause a reaction from people like, oh, like this huge accomplishment. I did this new certification at my job, or, and it's like, yeah, very accomplishment focused versus experience focused.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a, yeah, that's totally what light language and so many other tools really help us do, like be present and just be like, where are we, and really notice what we actually want and what we actually want to be focusing on.
I know, if you told me I wanted to sing a year ago, I'd be like, that's actually my worst nightmare. That's not what I want to do. And now I'm like, I'm so excited. And I have a newfound excitement for my life. And it all started with light language and learning how to look at the parts of me that tried to run away when I did shine a light on them.
That's so beautiful. I love that. Oh, awesome.
Thank you.
Well, this has been so good. It's been such a good introduction for people. Where can people find out more about what you do?
So I am always up for a video consult. I actually do not charge for light language Reiki. I have a heal.me profile, but if you feel the need to do any payment, I take crystals, baked goods, and plants. Like in the name of like light language and just spreading good vibes, right? So I have heal.me, it's under Athena Hatch, and then my Instagram, which is a Hatch in Time. And honestly, anyone can reach out at any time. Whenever I'll look, whenever I'm called to, usually when the kids are a little bit distracted, but I find that I'm always around when I need to be. That just timing works out that way, where like the kids will mysteriously be like, we're going to go out and play, and someone will reach out. And I love experiences like that. I just love meeting people.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet. Well, definitely we'll put Athena's link. So definitely go and check those out. And thanks so much for being here. This was awesome.
Thank you for having me. This has been a dream come true. This was my first podcast, and I've dreamed about this and didn't think it would be possible. And now here we are.
Oh my gosh, this is so great. Well, I'm so happy to have been your first podcast episode. Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me.
As always, thanks for listening to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. I'm Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow, and it's my pleasure to be your host. If you loved this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Much love from Lupin Hollow.